The gist. Why has Health Rising spent so much time on the Recover Initiative for long COVID? It's simple. Money. In February 2024, Recover received a $515 million infusion from the Biden administration to support clinical trials. Nobody else has anywhere close to that kind of money. If we want to more or less quickly get good treatments to the primary care doctors that most of us rely on, we need convincing clinical trials, and in that concern, Recover is unique. As long COVID researcher Ziad Al-Ali asserted during the conference, we need Recover to succeed. In her interview with Betsy Ladijitz, Bertagnoli said the two half-day Recover TLC meetings designed to open Recover up to new viewpoints regarding its clinical trial efforts, was crucial for the success of the initiative. She's likely right. Recover has put itself in a hole. Presenter after presenter acknowledged that the long COVID field desperately needs biomarkers. Biomarkers should be a holy grail, one said. Recover put most of its money into investigative studies that are characterizing long COVID patients, not digging in to their pathophysiology. The only avenue Recover appears to have left to generate strong biological data is by tweaking patients' systems with treatments and then analyzing how their systems respond. Indeed, in a new field like long COVID, one might have expected Recover to use clinical trials to ferret out what was happening with it. In a recent interview, Bertagnoli emphasized how much she expected Recover to learn from these kinds of exploratory clinical trials. We learned, though, that Recover is only gathering biological data in its Paxlovid study. Given that it was very good to hear NIAID Director Marazzo declare that Recover would, for the first time, embrace small exploratory treatment trials that are designed not just to see if a drug works, but what impact it has on the body as well. Using this approach, even a negative clinical trial can provide important insights into what's going on in long COVID. Urgency was the theme of the day, but Recover has seemed anything but urgent. Most of its clinical trials only opened up over the last year. From day one, Recover knew it needed a good long COVID definition, but only funded one about 18 months ago, and that definition was vague. One consequence is that Recover is using very general criteria in its clinical trial studies. Whether you have ME/CFS-like long COVID or pulmonary or kidney long COVID, Recover is treating them as one in its trials. While neither Recover nor the NIH has provided much of the biological data Recover needs to effectively design its clinical trials, Amy Prohl of PolyBio asserted that clear leads are already present and that we can design really good trials right now. Monoclonal antibodies that have proved effective in small trials are wasting away on drug companies' shelves unused. Avindra Nath stated that he thought it was time to stratify patients on the kind of immune dysfunction present and target it in treatment trials. These are the kinds of exciting approaches being done outside of Recover, which has focused its large trials on mostly conservative treatments, brain retraining, sleep hygiene, melatonin, exercise, ivabradine. The use of platform trials was widely agreed on. Stephen Deeks, UCSF, Lisa McCorkle, Avindra Nath, NINDS representative. Because these trials use one control group to test multiple treatments, they are considerably cheaper and faster than using different control groups for each study, as Recover is doing now. Other suggestions, such as using a playoffs model where treatments vie against each other in small studies before the winners move on to bigger studies, combination, and remote trials. The Paxlovid trials underway are an example of what not to do. Four very similar trials were underway. Because Paxlovid hasn't been assessed for safety beyond 2 weeks, the trials appear to have lasted all of 15 days, probably far too short a time period to make a dent in as complex a disease as long COVID. Several presenters asserted that long COVID patients need to be given a risk-benefit choice, and that noted many long COVID patients would rather take some risk, say in a longer Paxlovid trial, than remain in their present state. Others asked why anyone thinks one drug is going to do the trick when multiple drugs are commonly needed for infections and chronic illnesses. it was clear that a major stumbling block for the long COVID field and for ME/CFS, POTS, etc., has been a lack of industry engagement. Avendra Nath, for instance, tried but failed to interest pharma in exploring checkpoint inhibitors in long COVID. One industry rep said pharma is perplexed by long COVID and is unclear which drugs to try. Stephen Deeks, though, provided a blast of fresh air when he bluntly said that he didn't believe that repurposed drugs would do the trick. In a recent article, Deeks called long COVID's effects on the body as chaos and mayhem, and said what the field needs above all are objective markers. There's no mystery to beating long COVID, Deeks said. We simply have to do what we did with HIV/AIDS. That is, embark on a massive effort to understand the mechanisms that are driving it and develop the biomarkers that drug companies need to enter the long COVID space. We also need good endpoints, the symptom markers by which drug companies can tell if the drug is working. Seth Lederman of Tonix, the company that developed the Tomnia drug that is under approval at the FDA for fibromyalgia, asserted that if FDA would publicly declare that the Patient Global Assessment of Change, or PGIC, is a valid assessment for long COVID, drug companies would then move in. Not many people are excited about RECOVER's clinical trials, but that may be changing. Megan Stone, the founder and executive director of the Long COVID Campaign and co-author of Awakening, Me Too, and the Global Fight for Women's Rights, said she was hopeful for the first time in a long time. Time will tell how this all sorts out, but the panel of speakers RECOVER brought in suggests it's making a sincere effort to move forward. We need to give RECOVER a chance. RECOVER is staffed by people new to the field who had to build a big project on the fly, and mistakes were probably bound to happen. If RECOVER self-corrects, this wouldn't be the first time that a large endeavor at the NIH got off to a slow start, but successfully rebooted itself. NIAID Director Dr. Morazzo pointed to a new, more open and creative RECOVER. She promised small, mechanistic exploratory clinical trials and platform clinical trials will be done, that RECOVER will employ the same process as the ACCT/ACTIV network used to identify long COVID drugs. She also promised that RECOVER will work with the FDA to define endpoints to use in drug approvals, and that the larger trials will be done in such a way to lead to FDA approval. She promised that communication and collaboration, especially with patient groups, will increase and that monthly progress reports will be provided. For RECOVER's arguably most important challenge, its clinical trials effort, to succeed, it needs biological data to guide it, and that's an even bigger challenge. Stephen Deeks asserted that a massive effort akin to what was done in HIV/AIDS is needed to uncover the biomarkers and mechanisms driving long COVID. Once those are discovered, the pharmaceutical companies, as they did with HIV/AIDS, will jump in. The NIH, thus far, though, has not embraced long COVID or ME/CFS or post-infectious diseases in general, and no massive effort to uncover biomarkers is underway. One could be underway, though, and very quickly, if the long COVID moonshot bill is passed. Get that bill passed, and the circle is complete. We have a robust research effort that informs the search for good treatments. That's where we want to be, and that's where we must put our efforts. Find out more here at the link in the text version of The Gist.